Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My husband Shane has been volunteering and working in radio for well over 30 years now, having been bitten by the radio bug before he even started high school. He grew up listening to radio up on the Iron Range of Minnesota and down in Fort Worth, Texas, when his dad was in seminary there. And one of the voices he heard regularly was that of legendary broadcaster Paul Harvey. Now imagine a starry-eyed 13-year-old Shane on his first field trip to a radio station. It's his Disneyland. He's ready to meet his hero, Paul Harvey, only to be crestfallen as he learns that Paul Harvey didn't live at KMFY and KOZY, but that Paul Harvey's radio programs were actually pre-recorded in Chicago, and they were played back on the air from a cart machine. It's an ancient piece of automation hardware that looks like the offspring of a slide projector and an 8-track cassette player. In his program, The Rest of the Story, Harvey would tell stories of little-known facts on a variety of subjects, leaving out key identifiers, such as a person's name, until the very end, when he would reveal that important tidbit and remind the listeners, "And now you know the rest of the story." I see some of you mouthing along, so you know who I'm talking about here. Now, these stories that he told would maybe fill in the gaps of what listeners might know about a famous person, place, or thing. They would maybe tie up some loose ends to complete an incomplete story. In today's gospel reading, we hear about three different encounters Jesus has, and we either hear the rest of the story, or we find out a little bit more about a storyline as we consider the question, who receives the kingdom? First, we read about an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus gathers them together. He reminds them that they are headed to Jerusalem very soon so that this prophecy may be fulfilled. The Son of Man will be handed over, mocked and spat upon, flogged and killed, and rise again on the third day. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, the disciples have a lot of trouble understanding anything that Jesus tries to tell them, especially about the events that would lead to his death and resurrection. And today's blank-faced stare back at Jesus, it wasn't a boo-boo face from that babbling, bumbling band of baboons known as the disciples, but rather that the rest of the story was being intentionally kept from them. Now, disciples, you don't have to wait much longer because you will experience the rest of the story very soon. Shortly after this encounter, Jesus is on the way to Jericho when a blind man begging near the roadside hears this commotion. Wondering what's up, he asks someone in the crowd, and those crowdspeople tell him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, seizing the opportunity that he maybe didn't think he would ever have, the blind man cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His cries fall on closed ears. So he pleads once more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus finally hears him above the roar of the crowd and then asks for the man to be brought to him. When Jesus asks what the man wants, then and only then does the blind man ask for healing, for his sight to be restored. Jesus proclaims that the man is healed, that his faith has saved him. Now, that's cool and all, but then comes the rest of this man's story. Immediately, he follows Jesus, and the crowd praises God when they see what has happened. And now, the star of today's story, Zacchaeus. How many of you know the Zacchaeus song from Sunday school growing up, maybe? A little bit? We're going to sing it together. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Well done. Now, I don't know if it's just me or all you, but I've got this sudden craving for graham crackers and Kool-Aid. Like I'm getting out of my little tiny, tiny chair and going to Sunday school after we had our music opening. Now, you know that song, but do you know the rest of the story? What made Zacchaeus so special? Why did Jesus go to his house? What did the crowd think of what happened? How did Zacchaeus respond to Jesus' visit? And what did Jesus say? Let's together channel our inner Paul Harvey. So, who was Zacchaeus? We are told that he was short, he is a tax collector, and he's rich. But not just that. He was a chief tax collector, and he was richy, rich, rich. This man was loaded, and he didn't accumulate his fortune through hard work and honest living. Oh, no, 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 no. He made his money through the revenue that he himself collected from his countrymen, through the funds that he extorted from subordinates in his downline, and probably a few kickbacks from the Roman government to top it off. Do you remember that housing market rise and collapse around 2008? Now this guy, this Zacchaeus, with this cute little song and all, made those corrupt subprime mortgage brokers look as sainted as the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Zacchaeus was not a good guy. But we begin to see a shift in Zacchaeus' attitude, in his outlook, in his desire to hear the rest of the story. We see that he is a rich and corrupt man who is determined to see Jesus. He doesn't care what the crowd might say about the indignity of a grown man scrambling up the tree like a little kid. His determination to gather wealth is pushed aside by his determination to see Jesus. And Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' place for dinner is a light bulb moment, making Zacchaeus believe that maybe, just maybe, this Jesus guy, he's the real deal. And a transformation in his life is triggered. But it wouldn't be the story of a life-changing encounter with Jesus if there wasn't a crowd to grumble about it. There go Vernon and Petunia again. How dare Jesus break bread with those people and not with the perfectly law-abiding righteous people like us? Zacchaeus and Jesus ignore the crowd. Of course, Jesus will spend time with those that the Pharisaical crowds deem less than. After all, spoiler alert, Jesus breaks bread with Judas too. Zacchaeus is convicted. He makes an immediate change in his life. Right away, maybe even before Jesus enters his house, before he even gets the chance to get Jesus a cold beverage out of the fridge, Zacchaeus commits to giving half of his possessions to the poor. And he commits to reparations four times that which he had defrauded from his victims. There and then, Jesus proclaims that salvation has come to Jesus's house, to Zacchaeus's house. Now, Jesus didn't save because of what the crowd said. Jesus didn't save because Zacchaeus did good works. Jesus didn't save because Zacchaeus cooked him a good meal. Jesus proclaims that salvation has come to Zacchaeus because of the change in his life, because he is a son of Abraham, because that is what Jesus was sent to do, to seek and save the lost. And Zacchaeus holds to his promise to give extravagantly out of thanksgiving for the extravagant gift of salvation that he was given. So, who receives the kingdom? The clueless disciples do? The blind beggar? All those tax collectors we hear about? The grumbling crowd? Zacchaeus. Even a corrupt, rich man received the kingdom. Someone that you'd least expect. So maybe, just maybe, there's hope for us all. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a son of Abraham. And Jesus, who can come to us, is called the Son of Man. He came to look for what was lost, to find and save them too. And what he did for a very little man, he can do for me and you. He can do for me and you. And now, you know the rest of the story. Amen.